When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Undead Walking Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Here's your host, Renee Hansen.
I am Renee Hansen, and welcome to the Undead Walking Podcast. Today, my very special guest is Sonya Thompson, who is well known in the Walking Dead universe for her portrayal of walkers in season 1 and 2, as well as being featured zombie for the original advertising campaigns with the late Larry Mainland. Welcome, Sonya. How are you today?
I'm doing great. A little bit of rain here, but it's very welcomed.
Good.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. Got my coffee and I'm ready to go. So it's always fun talking to people who do the walkers and things, because it's just so fun for us to see put the face with the walker face. And a lot of times we don't get that, you know, so we don't know who's behind those masks and makeup and everything. So how did you get your start on The Walking Dead?
Well, I've been in film and TV since like 06, 07. And so basically I had done this independent movie called Night of the Jackals, and I played a zombie. Mm-hmm. And we were up all night having a good time, getting all bloodied up and, you know, chasing after people, doing stuff like that. And I contacted the casting agent and I said, hey, listen, you know, if you ever get any zombie movies or anything, just know I had a good time doing this. I'll be a zombie again. I did it very well from what they told me. And so I get a call and it's like, hey, you've got an audition with this movie called Zombieland. So I went for this audition for Zombieland. And I got the role of the lunchroom lady. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be reoccurring, but they did cut me from the theatrical release of Zombieland, but it did make it onto the DVD. So in deleted scenes called Ziploc bags, that's the scene. It's kind of dark. You only basically get to see the back of me because mm-hmm. I'm chowing down on this guy, you know, eating his intestines and stuff. And I was also called in to be in the Zombieland training video.
Okay.
And part of that made it in the behind the scenes on the Zombieland DVD. So you go to In Search of Zombieland, fast forward to rule number 3. And you'll see me making faces and doing all sorts of stuff. And there was only like 4 of us that was chosen to be in that, along with Ben Armstrong that owns a Netherworld Haunted House. Mm. And so he's there. So there's us 5 plus Ruben Fisher, the director, mm-hmm. and the camera guy. And I had no idea that was what I was being called in for. All I knew was I was being called in for some training. Mm. And so I go and I'm like, where's everybody at? And they're like, oh, it's just you 4, because we're doing, you guys are going to be doing a training video that all the zombie actors are going to be watching to learn how to be a zombie in the movie. I'm like, oh, well, okay, cool. You know, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun making that. It was real chill. I enjoy working with Ruben Fisher so much. He is such a great director and great person, just a great human being. Mm-hmm. And so part of that made it onto the DVD. And then also immediately after that, they start showing a couple of zombies and they talk about how they based their zombie looks. And when they get to my picture, they just happen to mention mad cow disease and syphilis. So I don't know of anybody else that can say that they've been compared to mad cow disease and syphilis in one sentence, but I can. So that's kind of my ongoing joke now that I like to tell people, because it's just like, oh, okay, great, wonderful, you know. But so anyway, to get to the next year, then The same casting company sends me an email and says, hey, you've been chosen as a zombie on this TV show, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, The Walking Dead. What the heck's Walking Dead? You know?
Yeah.
And then started doing a little bit of research and found a comic book on it. I'm like, okay, there's a comic book graphic novel out there. And so one of my friends had bought one that was working on the set with me, and we kind of read through it to kind of get a better idea of what we needed to do, but what it was about, and it seemed pretty cool. But then they had zombie school, and so I got called in for zombie school. There was 150 zombies season one, and out of that 150, they used the zombie school as like an audition. Mm-hmm. So they chose their main hero zombies from that zombie school. So there was only like 20 of us chosen for season one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of those 20. And so that's how I got started, you know, on The Walking Dead. And then they called myself and Larry Mainland and all the main zombies that they had chosen. They called us in for the very first day of filming with zombies at the convenience store in Fairburn, Georgia, where little girl zombie gets shot and killed by Rick Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're down there and we're watching, and I love to tell this story. We're peeking through the window and we're like, oh man, this is so cool. Look at her. She's doing such a great job, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden we hear Frank Darabont, cut, cut. We can see the zombies in the window.
Oops.
So didn't mean to do that. So we're being so careful. We're just like, you know, just peeking up and through, and they could see us. So that was a neat day. It was a long day, but a good day. But it was a kickoff for the zombies, mm-hmm. you know. And yeah. So it was the first day of filming, and you know, that was awesome.
Yeah, to see that iconic, yes, such an iconic scene for everybody. So that's really cool that you were right there to see it all.
Yeah, and you know, to see it firsthand and everything was really neat. But and Addie was such a pro at that age. I mean, I was so impressed with her. I really was. She couldn't, her mouth, they had a mouthpiece in. She couldn't eat, but she could drink through a straw.
Okay.
You know, she was a real trooper, and she had to be in that makeup a little bit longer than what they thought because they were trying to get things set up, and it kept kind of raining a little bit that day. And so, and my car was used in that scene too. So my car is a star. But anyway, it was a neat day. And I think they had one other scene that was filmed at the quarry. I believe the very first scene of The Walking Dead was filmed at the quarry, and then this was the very first scene with zombies,
mm-hmm.
from what I understand now. At first, somebody told me it was the very first scene that was being shot, mm-hmm. but then I found out later that it was, like, you know, the second official day of filming, but the first day with zombies. But still, okay. Being there, that, I mean, mm-hmm. I was there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just freaking cool, you know, now that we know how big it got, knowing that I was there for that scene, I'll never forget it.
Oh, I bet.
I almost wished I could have filmed on the very last day of filming, you know, 11.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been really cool, but yeah. I'm a lot older now, so I don't know I could handle all that makeup and 16 hours of work, you know.
Yeah, that's I don't know how they all do it. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, but that's so cool that you were there at the beginning, and then, like you said, now to look back and see what it's become, and you know, just it's just such a neat, I mean, it's a bittersweet time, you know, because we look back and see all the greatness and, you know that it's ending. But yeah, so that's very cool. And so, what scenes, what are your favorite scenes that people would be able to see you in?
Well, on season one, my favorite scene was Balto's episode 4. Glenn was downtown getting the bag of guns. So he comes out of the alley and he stops off at a car. Well, I'm that resting walker in the back seat of that car. So, you know, when he touches that car, it startles me. So then, you know, my head's cocked, and then all of a sudden I'm like, yay. And I get out to go get him. And so that was, you know, I'm like going after him and stuff. I even chased him down when he came back with a bag of guns. I chased him down to the alleyway, but they ended up cutting that part. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think I know why, because, well, we were told not to go too fast. So I'm going after him, you know, and then I'm told, hey, you need to speed up. So I sped up, and then Greg's like, Sonia, that was like a zombie sprinter or something. You need to slow it down. I'm like, okay. So then I slowed it down. So I don't know if I ever got it, you know, the right pace. So that's probably the reason they cut it. Okay. But when we got down, when I got to the alleyway, I reached in through the chain link fence door, and he and I are like doing like fist bumps and doing like handshakes, secret handshakes and stuff, you know, and I'm like acting like I'm getting him still, and we're like, you know, but we're doing that instead. So it was kind of funny.
I know, I always love
it's hard to stay in character when,
yeah,
you're doing something like that, you know.
Yeah, it's always comical to see the behind the scenes photos of the walkers doing a normal thing, you know, like, you know, sometimes you're having lunch, sometimes they're doing, you know, whatever. So it's always, yeah, those have to be, yeah, like you said, hard to keep in character when you're kind of playing around and stuff. But that's the fun, you know, good memories and stuff.
Yeah, it was, I remember on the, I think it was the Walker University special that they had shown. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there, I've got my fork in my mouth, you know, I mean, we're just like, you know, we were eating and stuff. So that was a lot of fun. But I did, you know, the cool thing is I got to do a couple of promotional videos with Glenn, mm-hmm. with Stephen Young and stuff, like, for San Diego Comic-Con when they were promoting season 2 and other things. So Steven is just a really great actor and great person to work with. He's just very genuine and down to earth. And I really enjoyed working with him on episode 4, and mm-hmm. and he's just really, really great guy. And so I'm very fortunate that I got to work with him as much as I did.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's fun to see his career and how, where he's gone since The Walking Dead, you know?
Well, all of them.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
And to know what a lot of them did before, some people said, well, you know, Andrew Lincoln was nobody before. I'm like, no. Actually in Britain, he was, you know, he had a very good following over there. He had been in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
As well with a lot of the others, you know, I mean, in a lot of them, did a lot of Frank Darabont's movies before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, he brought them on over, you know, mm-hmm. and I love that dedication from directors, mm-hmm. and producers when they think of their actors, they like, hey, I know this person can play this, so I'm going to bring them on over if I can. Mm-hmm. And hey, you know, but I mean, it's not like they're just giving it to them. They had the audition too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, before the final decision was made, but it is nice to be considered for future projects like that and other films when you've worked with somebody. So that's really cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And I want to add this. I enjoyed climbing on top of the tank in the pilot. My grandfather was a Army sergeant. And so I used to go to base all the time, and I was like a little monkey. I would like climb trees. I was just a climber. And so I always wanted to climb a tank. So when I got to climb a tank in season 1, I was like, man, this is so cool. You know,
yeah.
It got very tiring. I have so many bruises that, you know, after climbing up on it so much and everything. But that was the stunt guys told me I did a great job with it and stuff. They said, you know, you did really good with that. That was a great stunt for you. And so doing my own stunts and stuff was really neat too. And then season 2 was there was couple of scenes there that was pretty neat too, being at the FEMA camp, being a military walker and doing that. But yeah, those are kind of the main places you can see me at on it. But I did like 5 episodes season 1 and 4 episodes season 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway.
Yeah, that's really cool. So for the promotional walkers, how did you get chosen for that?
Well, after the second week of filming, casting called me and said, hey, listen, they want you and about 8 others to come in for some promotional photos. Mm-hmm. And so that was, they chose like, I think it was 9 of us, I believe, out of the 20.
Mm-hmm.
that they wanted for promotional stuff. So we went in, we went to, this is when the production office was located in Atlanta, mm-hmm. because this was still season one. Mm-hmm. And in the production office, they had like the tanks, the inside of the tank set up in there. And they had the fake horse like hanging about. Yeah, so that was kind of creepy but cool at the same time, you know, because you see this full size horse that's not real, just kind of hanging out on this little post thing, you know. And so it was kind of cool being in there, seeing all the behind the scenes stuff of that. Mm-hmm. But that was a neat day. We went in and I just thought it was really cool because T-Dog, Irony Singleton, he came, and I had worked with him on BET's TV show called Somebody's and also on Blindside. Okay. So when he saw me, he come running up to me and hugged me, you know. It was so good to see him. And there were some other people, you know, like Andrew was there and stuff. So, I mean, there was a lot of people because they were filming the inside of the tank scene that day.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a zombie there that day that was inside of the tank. His name was Sam Whitner, but I didn't know that he was going to be on Being Human later on, you know. But I sat with him at lunch and sat down, you know, talked to him for a little bit. And I remember later on I was watching Being Human and I'm like, God, I know this guy. How do I know this guy? And I just kept thinking, I'm like, I've worked with him before. What have I worked with him before? And finally it clicked. I was like, oh, my God, how cool. So I was really glad that, you know, he had done a lot of good stuff. You know, I didn't realize who he was, you know, I just knew him as Sam.
Yeah.
I didn't know it, you know, who he was. He had zombie makeup on too. You know? but that was a cool day. They wanted us to be animated while we were doing our photo shoot. And so I was like the second person to go, I think, to do it. And while we're in there doing our, you know, they would take us one person back at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that was not back there, we were sitting in there playing cards in full zombie makeup and hanging out and stuff. And so they wanted us to be animated. So I thought about Jurassic Park. I know that's kind of weird, but I was thinking about the reptars
mm-hmm.
on Jurassic Park and how they had little short arms and stuff. And I used to be a breakdancer back in the 80s. So I integrated breakdancing and my hands kind of like a reptar's feet, you know, or hands or whatever. So I was just like, you know, I was just going around and doing that. And so it was a fun shoot. It really was. I enjoyed it. And after I got my makeup off, I started to head out because I live an hour northeast of Atlanta. And so as I'm heading out, Frank Darabont's sitting out there smoking a cigar. And before I got to say hi or anything like that, he goes, you were amazing. Oh, my God, you are just so amazing. And I'm like, really? I thought maybe I might have overdid the zombie. You can never overdo the zombie, he tells me. You know, and we talked for about 15-plus minutes, and he was raving about me. And I was like, man, this is awesome, but, you know, I don't know what else to say. Mm-hmm. So I probably need to get on the road. So. After 15 minutes of talking to him, I was like, well, Frank, it's been nice talking to you. You know, I was scared I was going to get kind of awkward or something. So mm-hmm. I decided it was probably best for me to go on. So I went ahead and parted ways with him and went on. But he was so great to work with.
That's awesome.
Frank Darabont, he's hands on. Mm-hmm. You know, he gets down there and he's like, I want you to do like this and this. And, you know, and he's just really a great, oh man, no wonder he's an award-winning director.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great guy too. I've had the privilege to work with some great people, and Andrew Lincoln was great. Norman Reedus was great. You know, Irony is, I mean, everybody, Chandler mm-hmm. Riggs, everybody on that show was just wonderful to work with, especially Greg Nicotero. I love Greg.
Yeah. I really admire his work, and I love reading about all the things he does. And it seems like every time I research him for an article or something, I learn something new about him that I didn't know. And yeah. So he's a fascinating individual.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, and his whole makeup crew is great. I've worked with him mm-hmm. pretty much all of them. And I really enjoyed working with everybody. It was really cool. And I mean, little did I know all those zombie images were going to be seen so much.
Yeah. And to kind of tell us more about that for people that don't know about this. So like the promotional walkers, for those that don't know, were featured. Was it just the two of you, or were there more for these, or?
There was none total.
Okay.
But out of that nine, there was a few of us that got used a little bit more than others.
Mm-hmm.
There was four of us when they first started advertising The Walking Dead in comic book issue 75. There were only four walkers chosen to be listed with the, you know, cast photos. So you've got all these, you know, you got Glenn, you got, you know, Rick, you got Andrea, you got Lori, you know, you got all these, you got Carl. And then all of a sudden you come to these two pages of four zombies. And that was Melissa Cowan. She was Bicycle Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Alyssa Grun, Larry Mainland, and myself. And so we were the only four that were chosen to be with the main cast.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
And you should have seen me do my little dance in the comic book store. I was like, that's me. You know, they said I was very entertaining, but it was so exciting. But they referred to us as the cover zombies.
Mm-hmm.
There was Charles, Larry, myself, and Alyssa that got on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. But then Larry, we were used on the cover of A to Z of Zombies out of the UK, the SFX magazine. That was just like freaking cool, you know, being on the cover by ourselves. And then there's been some other magazines. I've been on the cover by myself as well, with SFX and A to Z the Horror and a DVD review. Well, I don't think I was completely by myself on some of those because there was another guy, and I can't think of his name right now, but he was a motion model too, but he was kind of there too, with me, you know, kind of behind me on it. But they used this all for the media packs, the press kits and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think I've been on about 10 magazines total worldwide. I've been on DVDs worldwide. I'm on the cover of the Russian DVD, the Netherlands DVD. I'm inside of the one from Germany. Mm-hmm. I'm inside the special edition DVD here in the States. I've been on t-shirts. I've been on billboards. There's been cutouts of me. I've been inside magazines. Mm-hmm. I was featured in SFX's bookazine. Mm-hmm. I guess that was probably back in 2012. I was in there about five times. And one of them, I was like a full page. And another one, me and Larry was full page. I probably have been inside 100+ magazines.
Mm-hmm.
It's still surreal to me. And there for a while, I would go when I was in the airport or anywhere, I would look at the magazine rack and I'm like, okay, am I on anything this week? You know, I just got kind of curious and still out of habit. I still, when I'm walking through Ingles shop, you know, grocery store, I'll kind of, when I'm walking by, I'll just kind of glance over there. Okay, they got anything out? Okay, well, I guess a couple years ago is the last time I've been seen on a magazine that I know of. So, you know, and that was Encyclopedia of Horror or Encyclopedia of Horror or something like that. And I was about yay big, but I was also on the cover, had like Freddy Krueger and Jason and Frankenstein. And I was with all these other iconic images. And then Larry's image was on the back cover with it. You know, I mean, it's like, wow, you know, but it is surreal, and it's mm-hmm. still hard to kind of, I don't know, when I was on all the Best Buy displays when the DVDs and stuff came out,
mm-hmm.
you know, display stands, there was me and everybody, all the other walkers, I was right up front, but Larry and all the other promotional walkers were behind me, and when somebody told me about it, I was like, oh my God, I gotta go to Best Buy, so I went, and I'm like, oh my God, I was like, can I have this? So they let me have it, but they said, we can't let you have it until, you know, it's done. Yeah. And my mom was able to pick up another one in another city that she worked in, and so I actually have two of those toppers. I didn't take the whole stand, I just took the topper, because I didn't need the stand.
Yeah.
And that is the image that is used on the inside of every special edition DVD.
Mm.
And but it's got, I think, everybody, all the promotional walkers in it. And that was really cool because my daughter was living out in Colorado, and this guy that she was dating out there, she says, hey, I want to take and show you my mom. So she went to the Best Buy out there and says, hi, this is my mother.
That's funny.
So I never got to meet him. I don't know if I scared him off or.
He's like, this is too much.
Yeah. But my daughter ended up being in season two with me.
Oh, neat.
She was a hero walker in season two at the barn.
Oh, neat.
So she actually got shot by Daryl when the barn was burning.
Okay. That's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was real neat for her. She and I to be in some scenes together and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool.
That is awesome. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Do you have any, well, you know, you told us the one interesting story about the, you know, the teddy bear walker and watching all that. Do you have any other fun or interesting stories you can share on set and things or?
Well, this one time I was, it was season two. I was, you know, in my military gear. And I had a backpack on, and I learned from season one that when you had downtime, you rested. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't go to sleep. You just tried to get in a zen mode. Mm-hmm. I believe in meditation and stuff like that. And when you're wearing those contacts, I'm claustrophobic. And I tell you what, your claustrophobia kicks in when you have on, you know, contacts like that, eye contacts. And it's a full on scleros is what it was. And so my eyes would bother me a lot. So I would try to like just close my eyes, take a deep breath and just meditate, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of just be in a zen mode. And so it was we were outside and we were at the FEMA camp at Noonan High School, which by the way, I'll be back in Noonan this Sunday for the finale, mm-hmm. at a finale party down there, 13 stories haunted house, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And, but anyway, so I'm in Noonan at the high school outside and I'm on the grass and I'm just kind of chilled out and, you know, everybody else is kind of talking around me, all this, but I'm kind of zoning them out because I know it's going to be a long night because it's never short. They say, oh, we're going to have a short night. No, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm just chilling out. And about time I felt something land on my face and it was a bird. A bird landed on my prosthetic on my forehead. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, my eyes come open and I'm like doing my arms around. I'm like trying to figure out like, what the heck? And I see this bird flying, you know, it's like on my face and then it starts flying away. And Savannah Weehunt, she was there and she played a lot of different things on the show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Not only was she a zombie, but she was like a stand-in for Carl, and she was a photo double for the governor's daughter and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So she, you know, she did like, I guess, you know, she was actually the governor's daughter for a short little bit when I think the bag was on or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she did a long show. But anyway, she's like, Sonya had a bird on her face, and some other people saw it, you know, and they're like, oh my God, Sonya had a bird on her face, you know. And so Greg walks by and I'm like, hey, Greg, I just had a bird on my face. I played dead so well that a bird landed on my face. So that was pretty funny. Then another time when we were chasing the horse downtown season one, during some downtime, somebody started playing Thriller. And so we all kind of broke out in the Thriller dance and did some stuff like that. You know, it was a lot of hard work. We tried to have a little bit of fun when we could, but it was long, exhausting days. You know, it really was.
Oh,
it was
sure.
Hot Georgia. The humidity was hard to breathe, you know, and then on the very cold days, season two, it was just so freaking cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we couldn't get warm.
Yeah.
It was just crazy. excuse me. But yeah, I mean, it's there's always been some cool, there's all sorts of cool things that happen on set that will never be forgotten. Mm-hmm. You know, it's etched in my head like a stencil almost, you know, it's just stenciled in there. Yeah. So cool. Yeah. Stuff.
Yeah. Well, it has to be, yeah, very cool to, you know, think that you were there at the beginning and you got to experience all that at the very, you know, the first seasons and all that kind of stuff. Cause you know, it's fun for us as fans to watch it and things, but to be a part of it, it's gotta be very, you know, to see now where it's at now and everything and look back at that and just have some, you know, pride in knowing you were part of the very beginning. So
I do, I you know, and I never knew it was going to be so big.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone did.
No, we had no idea it was going to be so huge. It was kept a secret, mm-hmm. you know, and even when we were filming downtown, you know, we couldn't, if somebody wanted their picture with us, we could not allow them to take a picture with us. Mm-hmm. We couldn't tell our family what we were doing. Mm-hmm. We couldn't tell anybody. We signed a non-disclosure agreement. So nobody in my family knew what I was doing. They just knew that I was going to go, I was working. Mm-hmm. And so they had no idea what I was doing. And they knew I was working every week on this really awesome project that I couldn't tell them about, you know.
So yeah, that's like, something happened. Very cool.
Yeah. But it was but you know, we were not allowed to carry our cell phones with mm-hmm. us. Yep. We were not allowed, you know, any of that, you know. So it was something. But as we would walk through, we had two blocks to get to set downtown Atlanta. They had four blocks. You know, they made four blocks into that apocalyptic scene. Mm-hmm. And basically they would set it up on a Friday night, and then we would film Saturday and Sunday, and then they'd take it all down so the businesses could open back up.
Yeah.
You know, and so then they would do it. If they were still shooting downtown, they would do it again, you know. But they tried to do that kind of stuff on weekends. Mm-hmm. But some stuff had to be done during the week. But that was pretty cool. But when we would walk to set, our base camp was actually where the double tap happened on Zombieland, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But we would walk, we would get in our wardrobe, and then we would get our makeup, and then we'd walk to set, and we'd have to walk through this little park. And Larry Mainland used to love telling the story, so I like to tell the story as well. But there was these old men in the park playing checkers. And so when we walked by, this one guy had a checker piece up in his hand about to move it. And he looks at us and he's just, his jaw drops and the other guy's jaw drops. And they're like, what the, you know, and I you know, and they were freaking out, you know, they're like, yeah. Oh my God, what's going on? You know, they didn't know how to react. They didn't know what to say. And it was so funny, the look on their faces. And then I got to thinking, I'm like, well, what if they were drinkers? What if they had already had their morning, you know, toddy or something, you know, and they're like, oh my God, I thought I was supposed to see pink elephants, not zombies.
That's funny. Yeah, that has to be a sight to see that, you know, very unexpected.
Yes. Very, very unexpected. So, and people, they would stop and ask us, what are you doing? Can we get our picture with you? And they thought we were being so rude.
Sure.
But we couldn't let them, but still sometimes, you know, it got that somebody got in or they did it or whatever, you know. There was one thing where this guy in one of the high-rise apartments or one of the high-rise buildings took pictures of everything that was going on.
Wow.
And there's a picture of me on top of the tank, and Rick Grimes, Andrew Lincoln, is coming up out of the tank, and he's kind of out of the tank. And so that was, whoever took these pictures says, I don't know what's going on downtown, but these are the pictures I took 2 days ago. And they were all over line, all over online on the web. And I was like, oh crap. And so I got I've still got a copy of that photo of me on top of the tank, because it's one of my favorites, because there's Frank Darabont sitting behind the monitor. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a couple of PAs and some other people standing around, and you get to see the process from a different level. Mm-hmm. From that perspective, looks really freaking cool.
Oh, I've
and
heard.
So that's one of my favorite, I call it behind the scenes photos. Mm-hmm. Because it kind of is. It wasn't an official behind the scenes, yeah. But it was still, a different perspective than what we were able to see. And I just thought that was a really cool shot. It really was. They even got like a picture of the horse and all this, you know.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, they released some of this stuff and I was like, well, okay, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I guess people know now what I'm kind of what I'm doing, you know. But I wouldn't confirm or not confirm.
Yeah.
I didn't release the photos or anything until after some stuff had started coming out. Then I said, well, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tried to play by the rules.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You don't want to lose your job.
No, I've always tried to be careful, mm-hmm. you know, so. Anyway, but it's fun stuff.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So how did you, you've had many projects before The Walking Dead. You shared some about Zombieland and things, but prior to that, how did you just get into acting and things?
Well, I've always been kind of entertaining since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I like to tell this story because when I was a child, I would set up a little stage and I would do these little singing and dancing numbers and just these little plays and stuff, you know, and I would be one person and then I'd jump over here and be another person, you know, and talk, you know, carry on a conversation. So I was always making my family laugh. My goal in life has always been to make people smile. Mm-hmm. I just think that everybody needs to smile and be kind and be happy. And you know, yeah, there's always going to be things getting you down, but you know, that's always been my goal in life is to make people smile. And I remember the first play I was in kindergarten, I was an angel. But you know what? It was all right. You know, I liked being up there. And in high school and middle school, I did plays and I was in the chorus. I was in the choir at church. I did plays at church. And then when I got my 20s and stuff, I was a professional clown.
Mm-hmm.
I went to professional clown school. I even auditioned for a few TV commercials,
but wow.
I didn't get them. Yep. I was even asked, there was a modeling agency out of Atlanta that wanted me to model for them,
mm-hmm.
but I was a single mom at the time and I turned them down because I didn't feel like I would have enough time to go do that and be a mom at the same time.
Sure.
Because her dad was not involved at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I put myself on hold. I sacrificed, you know,
yep.
my dreams and didn't do that, but I still did other things like, you know, I did my clown stuff. And then also I was in a gospel music group.
Mm.
And so I traveled with that a little bit, but she could try her and my, I finally got married at some point and that didn't last long, but that's another story. we could travel with, you know, the group. So it was something we could do together. And then, it was in my late 30s then that I wanted to, my daughter was a senior in high school. And she was into musicals and plays and chorus and, you know, doing things as well. And there was a movie filming over in Athens, Georgia. And a friend of mine was working on it. And I said, well, would it be okay if I brought my daughter? Because she's a brilliant actress and I would love for her to see the film part of it. So we showed up and he told us to dress like we were going to a spring semi-formal wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So we got all dolled up in our dresses and we went, and as soon as we got there, they put both of us on set and we were featured with like Barry Corbin, Kathleen Robinson, Sarah Rue, Will Estes, you know, Christian Kane, Desmond Harrington, you know, all these big names. And I'm like, oh, well, this is kind of fun. You know, I didn't know I was going to get to do all this, you know,
yeah.
So I started out as a featured background actor and I was like, wow, okay. But the reason is because we dressed for it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the reason we got used in the scene. Some of the other people that showed up, they had on flip flops and khaki mm-hmm. shorts. And I was like, okay, dude, that's not semi-formal.
Yeah.
You know, so they were sitting at tables and stuff. But anyway, we got to meet Will and Sarah Rue and Kathleen. They were all wonderful. We worked with them for 3 or 4 nights there.
Mm-hmm.
And the casting agency thought I had been doing it for a long time. And they're like, hey, you know, they got my information from that. So they started calling me. So I started doing other background roles. And before I knew it, I was getting featured like on Drop Dead Diva. I was featured mm-hmm. on that for 2 seasons. in the courtroom scenes. And then I was almost like a regular on that. And then I was featured on Van Wilder freshman year as a professor up on stage. I was just getting to do all these cool things, you know, and I really enjoyed it. Well, I got approached. Let's see, when was it? I got approached by some friends, and they were like, hey, you know, listen, we're going to start taking some workshops and stuff. You want to come with us? So I started taking acting workshops and different classes and things like that. I got a acting coach. I found a talent agent, and then I had a manager contact me out of nowhere. So then I had a talent manager, and I had these little independent movies I started doing that give me lines. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, so I started doing all this stuff, and it just kept leading to one thing, to another thing, to another thing. And I did a few TV commercials. I did some modeling gigs for stock photos and for post, you know, like for some companies and stuff. And I was enjoying it, you know, and so it just kept getting bigger and bigger. You know, I kept getting more and more stuff. And so, but there was all these projects that I would do, and I'm like, okay, this is it. This is it. And then it would go nowhere, or it would never come out. Or, you know, 10 years later, it's still on the shelf somewhere, you know, and I was just, oh my God, this is going to be real big for me. If I do this, man, this is going to be a big one. This is going to be good paying. And then it wouldn't pan out, you know, but I have ended up getting, there's a movie on Tubi right now. I think it's still on Tubi, called The Lost Day. And it's got William Baldwin, which is Alec Baldwin's brother, and Danny Trejo, and John James, that was a Jeff Colby on the original Dynasty. And it's got Johnny Alonso on it from One Tree Hill, Patrick Burnett from Star Trek. It's got Laura James, that's John's daughter. She was on America's Most Top Next Top Model. Anyway, Scott Hamm from General Hospital's in it. Anyway, it's really cool. You know, it's kind of hard to follow from, because I took two movies and put them together instead of the way it was supposed to be done. And some people were having a hard time following it, but then other people were really enjoying it. So it's got mixed reviews. But I had two really good scenes in that. And then there's a movie called This Old Machine with Kevin Sorbo that I was in. There's a movie, I don't know if it's still up on YouTube, but it's called All Hell is Evil, Lord of the Harvest. I did that probably about 7-8 years ago or more. But, you know, it was a good movie to work on. The Lumber Baron of Jasper County is one of my favorite roles.
I was going to ask, what's your favorite role? So that,
We based the character on Ralph from Green Acres.
Okay.
And so I was Sam the dog trainer. I got to talk like a big redneck. And so I got to say, like, all sorts of crazy stuff, you know, and it was just some crazy, you know, redneck talk. But anyway, it was one of my favorite roles. But most recently, I've done Lawa, All Saints Eve, that's on Amazon. Prosper is on Amazon. And KOA, Killed on Arrival. I play Meemaw. You might not recognize me, but I've got a gray wig on, and I got all this makeup on. And so that's a good movie to check out. It's not out yet, but hopefully it'll be out by the spring, I hope. And up in Pennsylvania, I filmed on a movie called Zero. Jim Kurt, that was Helicopter. I believe he was Helicopter Zombie from Dawn of the Dead. I hope I'm getting this right. And he and I, we play in it as a couple. And we are the foster parents to the lead of the show.
Okay.
And so the cool thing is, Zero is a zombie movie, but Jim and I are not zombies. So I thought that was a clever twist, and any zombie fans will say, oh, how cool, you know.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was really cool, but I've done a movie called Bottom Creek up in West Virginia, and Bigfoot. I did a Bigfoot movie. So I've done a lot of different cool things, some documentaries. I've produced a documentary that we still haven't gotten distribution for, but so if there's anybody out there that's interested, let me know. It's on Desert Storm. And so just contact me if you're interested in giving us some distribution on that. That would be great. And Anyway, I just hope that I'm rambling on.
It's fascinating. No, it's been very interesting. No, it's always fun to, I don't know. I'm very interested in seeing, okay, so we know you're from The Walking Dead, but what else have you done and how did you get there? And you know, all these things. So no, it's very interesting. So did I read maybe that you directed something too, or?
Yeah, there was a little pilot called Acadia that I co-directed on. And I also directed on Cry for Revenge. Cry for Revenge had a little, I don't know if it's, there was some issues between the production company and the videographer. So I don't think it's ever going to be out.
Oh, okay.
But it was supposed to be like a cult type class, and they had these little shorts that they were showing, like movie previews or whatever, like, you know, little reels or whatever. And I directed one of those. I directed the Nazi zombie clip of that. And so me and Brian O'Halloran from Clerks also directed one of them as well.
Oh, neat.
So that was going to be really cool to have that out there and be listed with Brian and some other great people. And it just didn't, when there's a conflict like that, it's like, that just messes it up for everybody. All the footage is there, but, and I tried to at least get my footage of that short. I tried to get him to release it, to at least release the short. But they wouldn't do that either. So unfortunately, I don't know that anybody will ever see that.
But I
enjoy directing. But I think I enjoy producing better. I like being behind the camera, behind the scenes, doing stuff. You know, I like being in front of the camera as well. But like, I wrote a script about 11, 12 years ago now. And with co-writers, Jim Adams and Dre Woods, I brought them in on the project. And I've just been trying to get investments for that to film it. I've got a couple of good actors that have already signed on. It's just a matter of getting the money to pay everybody. I want to make sure that the crew and everybody's paid. Yes, I could have filmed it already and just done it and had everybody work for credit and, you know, a t-shirt or something, you know, but I just didn't want to do that. I wanted to, you know, that's a lot of time to put into something if people aren't getting paid.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure they were at least paid gas money. So I had one investor, but that fell through. And so I've been trying to find another investor on that. But I haven't really tried so hard the past few years because of COVID and all this. Everything came to a halt. And so I need to get back on that. I need to get it done. I really, because it's a good movie. And, you know, I just think it needs to be out there. But, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, something may come up where I can film it tomorrow. Who knows? I mean, but Jim Adams, he's my production partner on that. So we do a lot of stuff together. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, good luck on that. That's exciting.
Thank you.
Well, I think I've gone through my question. Let me double check here. Yeah, I think so. Do you have any other things you want to share, or?
just be sure to watch the finale. I think it's going to be pretty cool. And, you know, I'll be down there. There's going to be so much going on this Sunday.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm going to be in Covington at a viewing party there. So yeah, there's just so much going on. I know Sonoy has a big thing going on, and yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Nick and Norms has got theirs going on. There's, I think, Irony Singleton's going to be at the bed and breakfast down there.
The veranda. Yep.
And so he's going to be there. I'm going to be over at the 13 Stories Haunted House. We were going to be, I think, in Sonoy, and it got so big that they had to move it.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
There's a charity calendar down there, and the calendars are $25. I don't know if they'll have some on hand or not, but we'll be down there signing things. I'm actually in the month of January, and it's kind of cool. The calendar has like a QR code, so you can scan it and watch the scene that I was in.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. And who are those distributed through?
I'm trying to think of, let me see. I'm trying to think. The lady's name is Jennifer. Okay. And Let me see. I've got it right here. It's called A Walk to Remember. And 2023 charity calendar. It's A Walk to Remember Memories and Adventures of Those on Set, 2010 to 2022. And I'm trying to see if it's got the information on here where Jennifer has it, but I don't see the information. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
But anyway.
That's neat.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like, It's got a few William Bells in there, but every page that has a location, whether it has an actor on it or not, it's got a QR code, I believe. Mm-hmm. So you can watch the scene that particular building was in, or that location was in, or how it was used.
Yeah, that's a really neat thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really, really cool. And the money, I think, goes back to helping, children of the I guess you just cut that.
No, that's good. Well, I'll do some digging and figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, she just sent me the stuff, so
yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, but
I'm like, God, man, my brain, I've had so much just different things on my mind, it's like, God, I can't even remember. Let's see. Okay, here we go. The Children of Fallen Soldiers Foundation is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, good. That's really neat.
Yep. Kindness Isn't Dead, I believe, is who you have to, but Jennifer Davison is the person mm-hmm. that you contact.
Okay, very cool.
But yeah, and I'm sorry for all my not remembering things, but I'll just blame it on age. I'm getting older.
Well, there's it's a lot of stuff to remember, so you're good.
Trying to, but anyway, well, maybe I'll see some of you guys down there.
Yeah.
Look forward to it.
So. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And it was great to meet you. And we just wish you all the best in your next adventures.
Thank you. And the same goes to you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show and to reach out to fans and tell my story. And I just really, really appreciate you having me on. You're great. And I'm glad I got to meet you.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.